You may remember a couple of weeks ago, Carte Blanche dug into the dire state of service delivery in the town of Knysna. And the good news was that within days of that segment airing, there was action. Things had been set in motion. The municipality had finally adopted a recovery plan suggested by the province. Water had been restored to Hookville Township. We even saw scenes of residents themselves coming out onto the streets to help clean up the mess of the CBD. So there was at last a sense of something happening. And I'm hoping perhaps the same kind of sense of renewed urgency might be brought to bear in another municipality after the show that aired last night. It showed the horrifying decline in my birthplace, the town of East London, and its neighbouring King Williamstown, or Qadze, as it's now called. Producer Catherine Rice is with us in studio again to talk about putting that segment together. Welcome back, Catherine.
Thanks for having me.
Sure. I mean, made my heart very, very sore to see how terrible Slummies, as we used to call it, was looking. I haven't been back in years. I had heard that it was looking run down, but I hadn't realised just how bad it had got. And I know your presenter, Govan Whittles, was going through very much the same emotions, wasn't he? Because he's also from that part of the world.
Exactly. I mean, I don't know that part of the world very well. And I'd been to visit there a couple of weeks ago on a different project.
Yeah.
And I'd really noticed how run down it looked and just how many abandoned buildings there were. And when we decided to do this story and Govan was the presenter, he then told me he grew up in King Williamstown. And so, of course, for him, it was also very emotional to see what has become of his hometown and of the place where he studied. You know, so East London was where he studied. And so it's changed completely since he was a student there over 10 years ago. So it became very much a personal journey for Govan, going through what we saw, particularly our time in King Williamstown and what's happening at Victoria Grounds. But the focus of the story was really this development agency, and that's where our investigation was really focused. We were looking at the Buffalo City Metropolitan Development Agency, which was established about 9 years ago by the Buffalo City Municipality, and their mandate is to increase tourism, boost economic development, and embark on projects that will do just that. So, of course, three of the projects that we looked at involved the BCMDA. And the very, you know, the STUP has gotten quite a lot of media exposure in East London and surrounds because of the fact that it costs so much money. But the other projects haven't been as widely covered, particularly Victoria Grounds. And the beachfront upgrade that was dubbed the STUP, I mean, that initial cost was supposed to be, you know, the initial contract value, including contractors' fees, was initially 87 million plus contractors' fees, 93.5 million. The actual expenditure to date has been 111.7 million rand. So that's an 18 million rand overspend on what many locals there call the STUP.
Because it looks like a slab of concrete with a couple of steps up the back. I mean, it's nothing like the beautiful beachfront upgrade that was presented in the original sort of artist's impressions at the beginning of this project. Catherine, anyone who knows East London knows how absolutely beautiful that beachfront is and how beautifully it could be developed if somebody did right by the city. But what has gone in there, and particularly at such a huge cost, is disgraceful.
It's exactly. The huge cost, of course, has gotten a lot of people very upset, but it's not just that project.
Yeah.
I mean, the spokesperson we spoke to was Sam Kello and Gwenya. He is the municipality spokesperson, and originally we had managed to organize an interview with the BCMDA CEO, Ayanda Kwaboka, who cancelled our interview just the day before. And so the municipality decided that Sam Kello would speak to us on behalf of both the municipality and the BCMDA, because you must remember, the BCMDA is paid by the municipality. So it is really essentially an entity of the municipality. So when we started digging further and looking at some other projects, we went to Waterworld, and there was absolutely, we just were able to walk straight onto the property. The contractors left there over a year ago, leaving it to the fate of the elements. From the visuals that we were able to get, you can really see that absolutely nothing has been done there. And what is shocking about that particular project is that project has cost, was with an initial contract value, and I'm including consultant fees, it was 107.5 million rand, and the actual expenditure to date is 121.5 million rand. So that's an increase of 14 million, but there's nothing to show for it.
Yeah.
And our visuals, we were able to get some visuals of what it used to look like in 2009, which the Daily Dispatch had, and they allowed us to use those visuals. And you can then actually see the shapes of the pools, and you could then, you know, as we cut to this pool that's now full of green water.
Stagnant water.
It was really sad, you know, to see it like that. And for Govan, of course, that brought back a lot of childhood memories for him, because he used to go there as a child.
And play. Yeah.
And play. And it was a really wonderful place where families, you know, I mean, how long it will take for this to be complete is anyone's guess. The contractors have walked off the site over payment disputes, so there's a legal tussle at the moment that's unfolding. But there's no work being done there, and the property is not secure. So the vandalism and the theft that is happening now is going to increase those costs even more than they already have been increased.
Now, speaking of vandalism and theft, the third example you shared with us in the segment last night, Catherine, you've mentioned the Victoria Grounds. For those who don't know, King Williamstown on Conquer, as it's now called, it's not just about the decay of a beautiful sports facility that used to be enjoyed by sports enthusiasts in the town. That is a place of extreme historical significance to South Africa. As your segment pointed out at the very start, it's where Steve Biko's funeral was held. It was a focal point for the struggle, and to see it looking as it does today, and to see what is left of a building that has literally been picked apart brick by brick just about, was really shocking. I mean, tell us what you found. The pavilion can't really be called that anymore, can it?
No, I mean, it was absolutely in a shocking state. And again, that was Govan, you know, played rugby there as a teenager. So for him, he was absolutely horrified. And I think Tembani Tom, who was one of the people we interviewed, who's from the King's Sports Veterans Association, he's been fighting to have that restored and upgraded for many years. And he was saying to us, you know, that it is a hub. It was a central point for many areas around King Williamstown for those children to come there. And he is very much focused on developing children.
Mm-hmm.
So when they got wind of the fact that it had actually, the developer's rights had been awarded to someone to build a mixed-use facility, which included a shopping mall, he was absolutely flabbergasted and has been fighting ever since. And he feels that, you know, their voices have not been heard. He said to us, sports is a universal language, yet nobody's listening to us. And, you know, for him, sport can be used to develop children and to take them away from avenues of crime. And that place that has such historical significance has been allowed to go to rack and ruin. And while we were there, we were walking through the change rooms, which had been completely gutted. And this man came in, and it was such a sort of incredible moment where the people who now inhabit that place were shocked to see us there, because we had a camera. We didn't have security with us, and we had a camera. And I did sort of think, I was a little bit nervous that we might get attacked.
Yeah.
And luckily we weren't. But that man spoke to us and said, you're not safe here, and you've got that very expensive camera. And then he walked out of shot and carried on with what he was doing. But it was a moment where you really saw that this has become a place that is inhabited by people who are, nothing good is going to come out of this upgrade unless there's absolute action. And Samkelo said to us that they have stopped the development. The developers have decided that, they took the developers to alternative sites to show them, okay, please don't build the shopping mall here, rather somewhere else. And the developers have said no. So now, I mean, there's potential for legal issues
there
further down
the
line. So it's a very difficult situation. And what Govan said to Samkelo and said to him was, well, you know, Victoria Grounds was maintained for years before that. I don't understand why you had to award it to a developer. And Samkelo's response was, well, no, actually it wasn't. We were running at a huge loss. We couldn't afford to maintain it anymore. anymore. And that is why we wanted to go into this private partnership and to try and make money off it. But for somebody like Tim Barney, who's been fighting this now for years, it's all just talk and he's not seeing any action. Yes, this is now stalled. But what's next? What's going to happen? What about the kids that need a place to play their sports? Mm. And so he, I thought, was an incredibly powerful interview because he is so invested in sports in that area and in developing young people's lives that he is just so visibly angry about what has happened to the state of this once significantly historical place that is actually a heritage site.
Just for anybody who's come in late to the conversation, Catherine Rice is with me in studio, producer for Carte Blanche, responsible for last night's segment on the deterioration of facilities in East London and on the rampant overspending on sort of, I don't want to call them vanity projects, because Catherine, if they were finished and finished well, they could be huge assets to the city in terms of tourism appeal and enjoyment of those facilities for the locals. But as they are now, they are eyesores, they are hotspots for crime, and they are just completely uninspiring. So to hear the head of the development agency saying we are comfortable with where things are at was just such a slap in the face to every person living in that city. Now, let's talk about how to fix this, because you interviewed councillors from both the EFF and DA, both of them obviously in opposition in Buffalo City Municipality, tearing their hair out, saying we know this is taxpayers' money, we can see that it is being misspent, and nobody is being held accountable. So there is a recognition of the problem. There is obviously a great sense of upset among the opposition councillors, but they seem to be hamstrung in what they can do about it. Is anybody holding these people to account for the non-delivery?
Well, I think just on your point, it wasn't the head of the BCMDA who said that.
It was the spokesperson. Okay.
So Sam Kelo gave it a 7 out of 10, which I found quite astonishing.
Astonishing. Yeah.
You know, they've got 6 major projects, and you know, we had spotlighted 3, but that kind of overspend is shocking. What a lot of the councillors that we spoke to said to us was that it's very difficult to hold anybody to account because it is an ANC majority in council. So what happens is these adjustment budgets, when these costs go up significantly, the reports will come to council for the adjustment budgets and they will be pushed through. And when the opposition councillors ask for more reports or more information, they say they don't get it. Sam Keller says they have access to everything. The councillors we spoke to said that's not true.
Yes.
And we often really, really battle to get any transparency when it comes to the BCMDA. Hmm. So for the councillors, they're saying with an ANC majority, it's very difficult to fight against that. And their hands are often tied. So again, it comes down to who's in charge, who's running the place, and how one can actually get these people to be held to account.
Well, I think exposing them as you've done in a segment like last night's is a very good start. And Catherine, my final comment is that I hope it starts to see people jumping to attention as your Neisner story did. Nice to know sometimes it does make a difference.
Well, I hope so. I mean, I think people in this country are feeling very hopeless. And I think, you know, when I was chatting to friends and family about these stories and these municipalities, it's become something that we see over and over again. But we now need to look outside the box. We need to start looking at active citizenry. We need to start really looking into who we're going to be voting for at these elections. These are such important elections, and we need to take responsibility for our votes.
Catherine Rice, thank you very, very much for another heartbreaking but fascinating story last night. And if you don't have access to DSTV, please remember that the stories do reach their website by roughly the middle of the week. So if you couldn't watch it or can't watch it on catch up, just wait until roughly Wednesday and then Google the Carte Blanche website to look for the story about these projects in East London and everything that's gone so horribly wrong.